Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So I've been running the Christianity Explored course that we've been doing this term, and it's been great, and I really got a lot out of it myself. And a few weeks ago, one of the areas that we talked about was the problem of the human heart and how Jesus came to earth really to help cure our heart problem. And as we were discussing this in the group, I was just reminded of a verse in Proverbs that Solomon, I think, wrote. And it's Proverbs 4:23. I'm going to use our little clicker. Yes. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And this is a verse that I have heard and read many times, and I often quote it to people, particularly in youth. And I'm sure many of us here have heard it and know it. But have you ever wondered why we need to guard our hearts, why Solomon felt he needed to use the words above all else? Have you ever considered how important your heart is in your walk with God, or thought about the fact that our hearts are the wellspring of life, and what does that actually even mean? And there is so much in this little proverb. And so this morning I want to look at the heart. And for the purpose of my message, I'm actually going to liken our heart to that of a house. And you'll see that there's quite a few similarities there. So let's just look at that middle part of that proverb, guard your heart. To understand why we need to guard our hearts, we need to know what we're guarding, and we need to know the condition of our hearts. And basically, the condition of our hearts is evil, which is unfortunate, but it's the truth. And when we think of our heart, often images like this, like pretty love hearts that are pink and red, and we think about these kind of things, and we think of love and emotions and soppy things, and you know, we say things like I heart you and you're in my heart, and you know, you make my heart smile. And I'm sure we've all said those little corny things before, but we need a little reality check on the heart, because the Bible paints a bit of a different picture. Ecclesiastes 9:3 says, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. The hearts of all people. So we're talking about everyone here. And our hearts are not just tainted by sin, but they're actually full of sin, which is why they are evil. And the writer of this verse likens that evil or that sin to madness, which is a little bit scary. And Jesus tells us the same thing in Mark chapter 7. He says, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within our hearts and defile a man or a person. And those are some pretty serious issues, and those issues are coming from out of our hearts. And so really what Jesus is telling us, and he's telling his disciples, is that the sin and the evil in our hearts is kind of attacking us in a sense. And Jeremiah says in 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So ultimately, our hearts have been invaded by sin, and sin has made them evil, and that is why we need to guard against them, or guard them. And my study Bible says about this scripture in Jeremiah, it says that wickedness must not be allowed to take root in one's heart. So wickedness is not allowed to take root. And we all sin, obviously, because the natural inclination of our heart is evil. But what I believe Solomon is asking us to guard against is sin taking root, or sin setting up camp or making a home in our hearts. And that's where it gets really dangerous. Now think about your houses. Think about the homes in which you live. They are constantly under attack or threatened by two main things: the elements and little creatures. Elements like wind and rain, and heat, and especially if you have a weatherboard house like we do, too much rain and things rot, or you get floods. And who's had a flood here? I've had a flood. Too much exposure to the sun and too much heat, and then the paint peels off. And then there's the attack of those little creatures, creatures like spiders and termites, and even larger creatures like dogs that chew things, or rodents. We've recently had a rodent problem in our house. Anyone else had rodents in their houses? Yes, a few. There's a bit of a plague going on. We've had them in the church as well. It's been very... You know, as I'm sitting there doing my work, I can hear these things in the walls. Anyway, and so we actually thought we had mice. And then we had the pest guy come out and he informed us that the droppings that were in our house were of a size that could only belong to rats. So we thought we had mice, but we have rats. It's great. But you know what? I'm all right. I'm okay with the rats. That actually doesn't scare me that much. What scares me the most, the attack that I'm most afraid of, is the attack of the termites. Who's had termites in their house before? Yes, not fun, I hear. Because termites attack a house quite deceptively. And you often don't know if they have set up camp, if they've come in and actually made a home in your home until it's too late and they've destroyed the foundations of your house. And our house is at a really high risk of getting termites because of where we live. There's a lot of trees and because of how our house was built. It was built really dodgy. And many people have told us that. They're like, how's this house even standing? And also because our house is made of wood and termites eat wood. It's the only thing they eat. So we've got this really high risk of getting termites. And so we get a termite inspection done every year. And the first year that we got it done, the pest guy gave us a list of all the things that we could do to our house and around our house to help protect and guard against the invasion of termites. And so obviously we did all the things that were suggested to us and we check those things every year. The reason we do that and we check them regularly is so that we can safely guard against these termites coming in and setting up camp in our house. And it's kind of the same with our hearts. Our hearts are at high risk of sin taking root and setting up camp. And we can't stop sin from existing. It's here. And just like we can't stop the wind and the rain and the sun, and we can't stop termites and rats and mice and spiders from existing, they're always going to be there. The only option we have is to guard our home and protect our home against the elements and against those creatures. And it's the same with our heart. The only option we have is to guard against or to guard our hearts. And I know I've painted a little bit of a bleak picture, but we really need to know the reality of our heart and we need to know what we're up against. And Solomon says that we are to guard them above all else. Or another version of the Bible says to guard them with all diligence. It's as if Solomon is saying above riches, above property, above health, above and before everything else that you guard that's of worth to you, your top priority, your most important concern should be to guard your heart. So he's really placing a lot of emphasis on this. And the reason that Aaron and I pay a lot of money every year to get these pest or termite inspections is because our home is valuable. We have invested a lot of time. We've invested a lot of literally blood and sweat and tears and arguments. And we've invested most of our money into this house that's so dodgy. And we're going to spend the rest of our life paying it off. And so, of course, we're going to guard against it. You don't bother guarding worthless things. Have you ever seen anyone standing outside their recycling bin on bin night saying, hey, back off. Leave my recycling alone. No, because it's rubbish. We don't guard rubbish. In fact, we put our rubbish and our hard rubbish on our nature strips and we hope that people will take it because it's worthless to us. But when it comes to our homes and our houses, we put locks on and we put alarm systems in and we do pest inspections because they are valuable. Out of all the possessions and all the materialistic things that we own, they are the most valuable. And our hearts are also of great value. Why are our hearts so valuable? Aside from the fact that they keep us alive by pumping blood to our body, because Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment was to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And so if we are going to love God with these hearts, even though they're naturally evil, and even though they're full of sin, we're still told we need to love God with them. And so unless we guard them, the way that we love God and the way that we love others, because that's also how we love with our heart, is going to be tainted by what's in them. Do we think of our hearts as valuable? Do we treat our hearts as valuable? I've not honestly really thought about it too much before, but we really should. And the reason that we should is because of the last part of this verse, and that is that we are to guard our hearts above all else because they are the wellspring of life. Think about your house again. It is a place where you do almost everything. You eat, you sleep, you have families, you create memories, we fight, we argue, we laugh, we develop relationships and friendships, we entertain, we rejoice, we celebrate special occasions. And when you walk into someone's house, you can tell fairly quickly what kind of a person or what type of family lives there. You can tell whether they have animals or whether they have kids or what they cooked for dinner last night or whether they place a high priority on cleaning. You can tell, you know, what they value. You can tell whether they have good taste or not. You think about when you walk into someone's house for the first time, you make some fairly quick snap judgments and you look around and you think, oh, they've got money. Oh, they don't like cleaning, or they're messy, or they're or disorganized, or they've got cats because I'm sneezing, or we make these judgments by what we see. And so our homes reveal who we are and what we're like, just as our hearts do. And the things that happen in our homes and in our houses affect the other areas of our life. This version says our hearts are the wellspring of life. Other versions say out of our hearts flow all the issues of life. And so you think about the things that you do in your homes. You know, if you can't sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning because you can hear the rats scratching in the wall, then that's going to affect how grumpy you are in the morning and then what kind of a day you were going to have at work or wherever you go. And so in a similar way, Solomon tells us that our hearts are the wellspring of life, that all the issues of life flow out of our hearts. So when we don't guard our hearts, every aspect of who we are and the issues of our life are in danger. Our passions, our desires, our dreams, our values, our insecurities all reside in our hearts. So what we do, our actions, and what we think and what we speak is all a product of what we are like on the inside. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't say things unless they come from your heart. And where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so I guess the main message is that our Christian walk is a matter of the heart. God is always concerned with our hearts, with the reality and with the condition of what we are like on the inside. But we often get caught up focusing on the outside, on outward appearances and behaviours. And in Matthew 23, Jesus had a real go at the Pharisees, because of how concerned they were with the outward appearance. And he gave them a real serve, and he was really telling them, guys, your first priority needs to be our heart. So in verse 25, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." So he's saying, guys, first, get your hearts right. Then the outside of the cup and the outside of the dish and everything else that flows from that is going to be right as well. We need to get that order right. Inside always comes first. And so that's why we have to guard our hearts, because they are essentially evil, because there is a high risk of sin taking root, because they are valuable, because they affect every area of our lives. And that's what Proverbs, this verse in Proverbs, is really on about. And so if that's the case, then the next part of looking at the heart is to find out what's inside our hearts and deal with what's in there. Or as Jesus said, clean the inside of the cup. A few years ago, my dad had a fairly massive heart attack, and he's actually very lucky to be alive today. And what happened is he had this heart attack, and they obviously took him to the hospital, and the results were that he needed to have some stents put in to deal with the blockages that were in his arteries. The only way that his heart was going to continue pumping blood and continue working and continue keeping him alive was to deal with those blocked arteries, to deal with what was in there, or else that was it. They had to remove the damage or deal with the damage that was in there. And the journey of us as Christians is often a continual process of restoration, of allowing God to continually iron out and transform and change us into his likeness. It's not about behavior modification. That's what the Pharisees were on about with the outside of the cup. It's not about that. What it's about is heart transformation. And so our hearts need healing, and our hearts need restoration, and our hearts sometimes even need surgery. One of the current jobs that we are doing on our house at the moment, and when I say current, I mean we started in September last year and we're still going, is painting the exterior. And a lot of you probably know that we're doing that because it's all we talk about, because it's so consuming. And so our house had had a lot of areas of neglect when we first bought it. But one of the most obvious ones to look at was the condition of the paint on the weatherboards. And so we are in the process of restoring the outside of our house. And if you've ever done any painting, especially if you've ever done any outside, then you would have spoken to Chris Blacker, because no one here paints without talking to Chris first. And he would have told you that the most important thing about painting is the preparation work. Is that right, Claudia? Amen. So The preparation is the most important, and it's also the hardest. It's the hardest part, because you have to go around and firstly you have to fill in all the holes. So you have to go around and take out all the nails and all the staples that you've, you know, been stapling fairy lights to your house for all the parties. You have to go around and you have to get rid of all those things, and then you have to fill in all the gaps. Go around every single side of the house and fill in all those gaps with putty. It takes forever. And then once you've done that, you have to assess the weatherboards, and you have to go round and assess the damage of the boards and repair that damage. Or if it's too damaged, you have to then put a new weatherboard on. And so you've got to go and do that. And then after that, you have to sand everything. So you have to go around and smooth out all of those rough edges. You have to smooth out all of the putty that has dried that you've used to fill in all the holes. And you have to sand everything. And then you've got to clean everything. And then once you've cleaned everything, then you're allowed to paint. And that's the easy bit, and that's the fun bit. But the restoration and the sanding and the gap filling and all of that, that is the hardest and the most time consuming in the restoration process. And it's not fun. It can be pretty painful. And when we come to dealing with what's in our heart and the condition of our hearts, sometimes we need to do some gap filling and some sanding on those rough edges and repair work on those areas of damage. And it's not a lot of fun, and it can be painful, and it can take a while as well. Think about your heart right now and what's inside. And when you think about that seriously, it can be pretty scary. But if we don't ask ourselves, and if we don't find out, and deal with it, then the outworking is going to be even scarier. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of him whom we must give account." So this is an amazing scripture, and it's telling us that the word of God is powerful to the point that it judges the attitudes of our heart. The King James Version says that the word of God is a discerner of the intentions of the heart. So what are the intentions and attitudes of our hearts? God knows, because nothing is hidden from him. He sees everything. He knows what's inside our cup. But do you know what's inside the cup, your cup? If we're going to do some sanding and some restoring work on our hearts, and we're going to deal with those issues and those blockages and the damage that's in there, then it's clear from this scripture that the Word of God, the Bible, is our sander and our gap filler. And if you like the surgery example, then it's our scalpel. It's as we read the Word that we get the truth into our hearts. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden," where? "In my heart, that I might not sin against you." So it's so important when we're looking at the heart and when we're dealing with the heart that we actually use the word in conjunction with what we've got to do. We talk a lot about the mind, and we hear a lot about the battlefield of the mind and our thoughts. And, you know, I've spoken about it before, and it's important stuff and we need to know it. But what we also have to realize is that whatever is in your heart is going to be expressed through your mind and through your thoughts. Mark 7 tells us, and we read it before, that out of our heart come evil thoughts. So if we get our hearts right, then it makes sense that our mind is going to be right as well. And I know it's not that simple, but in essence, that's really what we're looking at. Our mind deals with what's in our heart, which is why we need to guard our hearts, which is why we need to get the right stuff into our hearts. Knowledge changes the mind, but revelation changes our hearts. And the Word of God brings revelation. So if we're going to do the cleaning and the sanding, then we need the word. So what are these issues of the heart that need to undergo this restoration process? And it's really important that as we're talking about this and hearing about it, that we understand that it's God that does the restoring. We don't do it. We have to deal with it, and we have to allow it to happen, but it's God that does the work. It's God that does the healing. When Aaron and I are sanding and doing stuff to our house, the house receives what we're doing to it. And so for us, we are receiving and allowing God to do that work. So it's really important we understand that. And so I actually did a little study, or a big study, in Proverbs on the heart, and to look at the issues of the heart. And there's so many, and obviously I can't talk about them all because we don't have time. So I've just picked a few, and it's really interesting. So I encourage you to do it yourself. I've just picked a few of those things that can take root in our heart. And as I go through them, and as I read scripture, it might sting and it might hurt a little bit. But that's just that double-edged sword that Hebrews is talking about. So let's look at the things in our hearts. Pride is the first one, what they call the great sin, because all other sin stems from pride. So what does Proverbs say? Proverbs says, 16 verse 5, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." 16:18, "First pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall." That's from the Message Bible. Proverbs 28:25, "He that is of proud heart stirs up strife." So if we have pride, it's going to be in our heart. Arrogance, superiority, high and mighty attitudes. Where there is pride, The overflow is strife. We will fall and crash, and God will resist us or oppose us. Next one. I'm just going to go through these really quickly. Envy. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of bones. And then James says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. It's not easy to hear that. That stings. Proverbs says it, and James confirms it, that envy, if we have it, it's going to be harbored in our heart. Jealousy, covetousness, selfish ambition. And when it's there, when it's in our heart, when it takes root, not only does it rot our bones, which is not a nice thought, but it brings forth confusion, rebellion, disorder, and every evil practice. And you can see how that proverb's about out of the overflow of the heart is the overflow of the issues of life. You can see how everything is affected by what's in our heart. Bitterness. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. And Hebrews 12 says, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So the Bible says that where bitterness resides in our heart, it not only causes trouble, but it causes isolation and loneliness because no one else can share in it. And then there's sorrow. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Sometimes it's past hurts and wounds in our heart that we are still clinging to and still holding on to that need healing. Because where there is sorrow and where there is pain and where there is hurt that has not been dealt with, this is actually telling us that it affects our spirit. Now, maybe you don't have pride or bitterness or sorrow in your hearts. Maybe we've got some of the others that Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 7. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, foolishness. We can get so used to things that have been around for a long period of time that we don't even notice them as a problem anymore. This is our old, last example of the house, I promise. This is our old flywire door. It's not a really great picture, anyway. And this is before we began doing any restoration and work. And eventually we replaced the door behind it, the main door, and we painted. But for ages we left that flywire door on. And it's terrible. It's a terrible door. And I don't know why, but we left it on. The flywire, you can't see, it's not even attached to the door. And so just the insects like and bugs can get in through summer, so it doesn't even act as a flywire door. And the dog has literally like pawed her way through that flywire. So that's why it's not attached. It doesn't close properly. So when there's a breeze, it just bangs. It's flimsy. It's so thin. It serves no purpose. It doesn't do anything. But we left it on for ages because we couldn't see the door for what it was. We just had gotten so used to it being there that we didn't realize how bad it was. I liked it because I thought it had character and charm, even though it was just completely useless. It was not even a flywire door, just pieces of wood standing there. And likewise with our hearts, we can get so used to the evil stuff inside it that we don't even notice it as a problem anymore. We can get so used to the hurts and the sin that we don't actually even see how it affects our lives and it affects other people. And we make excuses for the attitudes and the intentions that are there. And it's only when we can objectively look into our hearts and get revelation from the Word and see what's in there that we realize that those things don't actually belong in there, that those things are not actually helping us. They're not actually doing us any good. And my dad used to come over to our house, and he used to, every time he walked through that door, he used to pull a face and he used to look at it and he used to sort of like just show his disgust with that door, because he didn't live there. He could see how useless it was straight away. And so eventually we got a new one. And isn't that nice? Yeah, I know. So thank you. Thank you. So this door closes properly and we can put a lock on it so that we can actually be safe. And it's got a coat of paint and it's got fly wire that is attached to the door, and it's actually got dog-proof fly wire. So we've actually thought about that. And so this door now serves a purpose. It's not useless like the other one was. And so whatever is in our hearts, whatever it might be, whether I mentioned it or not, let's be prepared to go through a bit of stinging and a little bit of pain, and let's allow God and His Word to deal with and restore and clean and heal our hearts, not just today, but for however long it takes, because it's not a quick process. It is a journey. But God loves our heart, and it's so amazing that we were able to hear about forgiveness this morning, because God sees the ugliness that is in our hearts, and He loves us. He loves us, and He wants to heal what's in there. So can we do that? Let's pray. Father, we just come before You right now, and we just thank You that You do see the inside of our cup, that You do know exactly what is in every single person. Nothing is hidden from Your sight, and yet You love us, yet You accept us. And we thank You so much for that amazing love. We thank You for the amazing forgiveness that we heard about this morning. And Lord, right now I pray that You would help each of us to not only realize the importance of our heart and how valuable it is, to realize the impact that our hearts have on every area of our lives, I pray that You would help us to guard our hearts, that You would show us what that means to guard our hearts, and that we would take that as a serious thing, Father. And Lord, I pray that when it comes to us looking inside our hearts and actually giving You our hearts and what's in them, Father, I pray that we wouldn't be in denial about the things that we see in there, but Father God, that we would trust You as the healer, as the one who restores, as the one who brings healing, as the one who cleanses us. And I pray that we would allow Your work, Your amazing restorative work, to be at work in us even now. I pray that we would be prepared and we would trust You enough to work in our hearts, to transform our hearts. And Father, as You deal with our hearts, we know that that is only going to make the outside of our cup look even better. And so Father, I just pray that You would give us patience in this process, and we just thank You for who You are and for Your love for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.